Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 12, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Hear right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, there is another way that you can reach me. You can reach me by email. If you send me an email with a prayer request on it, I'll print it out, take it to the mission church, we'll anoint it with oil, we'll pray over it, and if you include a mailing address, we will send it back to you at absolutely no cost, obligation, or any other solicitation to you. We just want to do that for you. You can find our email address, along with many other things, like the breaking news, all about our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. And yes, we do have another website called messiahsbranch.org. We've had it for years, but it hasn't been updated in years. We're in the process of transitioning that to a WordPress blog, so Prophecy Hour is the place to go for right now. Anyway, remember, we are a national satellite program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so please pray about supporting airtime, because airtime isn't free, and it does cost, and you, as most of you folks know, my regular listeners, that we are not, we don't sell anything on this radio program. We just inform you whatever, but we don't sell anything. Now, some of our guests that come on, they'll talk about their books and they'll sell them, but we'll not actually sell them from us, but they'll point to, their books for sale. But we don't. And those people that you hear in between think, well, those are the radio sponsors. No, those are the station sponsors. And so, anyway, pray about supporting Messiah's Branch, our Prophecy Hour radio program. Anyway, our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com, so make sure you check them out over there and share them with others. And on another note, this is time I usually thank our listeners from all over the world, but tonight I'm going to give a special thanks to a couple that dropped in on us this last Tuesday. I got to the mission church a little bit late, but they were there waiting on me, and they'd been there for a little while. They're up from Florida, and they were visiting someone in Oklahoma, and so they dropped in on us. And so it was really nice to meet these folks, and they listen to my radio program, so I know the man does. Anyway, thanks for dropping in, and thanks for the computer that you donated. Right now, one of my brothers in Messiah is reloading it and seeing what we can do with it. Anyway, so thank you for dropping in on me, and I do appreciate it. And I also want to thank our listeners. There are listeners from all over the world that listen to us. And, of course, in Wichita, Kansas, where our biggest group of listeners are. You folks in Wichita, you see somebody from Florida is in Oklahoma and drops over and sees us. You folks that listen to us in Wichita, you can drop in and see us really, really easy. And pray about supporting the Mission Church in Wichita, because, you know, after all, it is your city, and this is what we're doing in your city. So pray about it. Anyway, now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor our guest's will. So please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, today, most Americans are really looking towards tomorrow, the end of the work week. In our Father's eyes, that is exactly right, as Friday is the preparation day for the Sabbath. So many miss the prophetic significance as the Sabbath is a rehearsal for when Yeshua returns and reigns on earth with us for 1,000 years. A day with the Father is as 1,000 years, the Word tells us. And we're now in the 6th year, the preparation year before Yeshua's return, the day of the Lord. So if we in the West look out across the world to the land that Yeshua will return to, we will see that prophecy is coming true right in front of our eyes. Looking out from the lands and where the Bible was written, we see people being brought back from all over the world after being exiled. In fact, Israel today celebrates its 68th year of being a sovereign nation. So happy restoration, Israel. Yes, restoration to the promised land that was given to Abraham and his descendants. Yes, to the blood ones and to the grafted in, all whom will know their Savior, Yeshua, which is his biblical name. If you look up the word salvation in a strong concordance, you will find the word Yeshua. Abraham's covenant, which is still in effect, promises that it is still in effect as it is an everlasting covenant. So we dedicate this song to Israel. A song by Brother Ben. As I've told you many, many times before, that was a man who had a program back in the 90s called the 70th Week Magazine, and he was a really good musician, and he wrote a lot of songs by himself, and then after a while he had a band he called Remnant, the End Time Band, and they sent me a cassette many, many years ago and said, in fact, it was about when he went silent for a while. He gave me a cassette and said, use this to bless your ministry. And that's one of the songs from it. Now, I've never sold the music, and I don't intend to sell the music. I play it once in a while, and if people request it, I have the cassette now on CD, and if somebody wants a copy of it, you can. I'll give you a copy. I'll send you a copy, but you do have to cover postage and the cost of the CD. There's about 10 or 12 songs on it, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, good music, but kind of nostalgic for me, because that was about the time that I started to, started getting into prophecy clear back in the 90s. I had we started a mail-out newsletter, and we did that for many years, and we're just doing it now 4 times a year because most people don't read anything coming through the mail. That was how we were funding our ministry, but now most everything comes from radio now. Anyway, 68 years. Men were told they would have 68 years of Israel. Wow, that's something. Men were told they would have 70 years of life on earth. Some question something will happen because of this timeline. As we look at the world, we see things like Russia today is talking about nuclear war, right? On the Drudge Report, right up here it says Russia talks nuclear war, and then right underneath it says Britain says fighters intercept Russian aircraft approaching the Baltic states. As we look at the world, we do see these things. It's all over the news. Russia says that it now believes in nuclear strikes to prevent wars. That's right, to prevent wars. Nuclear war to prevent nuclear war. Wow. I could go on for hours talking about how Russia has been training their pilots and military for war, just as they ran overflights today in the Baltics. Yes, we have seen in the last few years, the Russian bear grow in might. Well, it helps its allies, such as Iran, ready itself to make war on the West. And, of course, Israel. Iran is really, really gearing up. We watch Christians being wiped out in the lands that Christianity started from. In the same lands, we see Muslim refugees being visited by Yeshua. Yes, Yeshua. There's many, many instances of Yeshua opening doors to tents and talking and saying, people are going to come speak about me. I won't go into great details because, brothers and sisters, we are going to have somebody that works with those ministries on the radio program soon to talk about it. Which reminds me, next week, don't forget, Michael Snyder will be on to talk about his new book, and Joel Richardson will be coming on pretty quickly to be talking about his new DVD. Anyway, they are being saved. People are being saved over there under persecution. Just as you've heard many Western so-called prophets say that it would happen in the West, an end-time revival, like in the book of Acts. But alas, most are missing it because it's just not happening in the West. The West is going further and further down in depravity. And, that is so true, we are getting further and further away from Christ, and we're allowing it to be taken out of our lives. We are going, it looks like America is going to have to suffer great persecution before the church will, in fact, bow its knees back to Yeshua. We pray that that isn't so. There's many, many of us praying. A lot say that maybe Donald Trump is an answer to that prayer. I don't know if Donald Trump is an answer to that prayer. And we're going to talk about Trump in the next radio program when Carl Gallatz comes on, because I brought him back on so we could talk about that. It's really important because it's important in what happens to America. In fact, these Bible prophecy teachers are saying they're looking for a suit and tie Antichrist to come, and the armies of the Antichrist, but yet the armies of the Antichrist are rising all across the world. Iran, or let's just rather call it Persia, is rising up. They're spreading out over the lands and fueling many large and small wars in anticipation that if they start the apocalyptic war with the people of the book, that they're Mahi. And Jesus will return. Yes, their prophet Jesus, they say, will return and behead all those who do not accept Allah. Now, you see, they don't believe that they have to win the apocalyptic war because they're Mahdi their Savior is going to come back and save them, of course. And their version of Jesus, which is simply a prophet, because what is they say about Yeshua? Well, it's like this. They say Allah has no son. Well, we know from the good book that it says that he who denies the Son denies also the Father, and that's the spirit of Antichrist. So these warriors are killing not for God, the Father. That's our Father doesn't order people to slaughter people like this. This isn't the same God. And to say that these people aren't Muslim, it's all the same book. They're the people of Allah's book. In the West, we struggle if it's okay. And right now, all of this is in front of our eyes. How much more horrific does it have to get? There's a genocide going on over there. But in the midst of that genocide, while the Christians are being slaughtered, the people, the Muslims, many, many of those Muslims are being saved. Isn't that just wonderful? You know, with these visitations from who? Yeshua. How many of you out there would just love to be able to have a visitation or a vision, you know, of Yeshua? Now, there are many people having dreams and visions, but, you know, you can hardly separate that which is right, which is wrong. There's so much of it on the Internet, but that just goes into Bible prophecy, because there's many, many false Christs out there, and they don't necessarily have to say that they're Christ, but they're coming in the name of Christ. They're using his name in vain. They're breaking the commandments. And in the West, we're struggling over it's okay for men to be in ladies' bathrooms. Come on. Even if these men had a sex change, they would still have the male chromosomes that the Creator gave them. So, you know, you can cut things off or put things on, whatever the case. I don't even want to go there. But no matter what, these same men are going to have chromosomes that identify them as male. In fact, the psychologist, psychiatrist, that's a society. I can't think of the name of it, but I do know their book. They have a book that describes mental illness, and they describe transgenders as, it's a mental illness. Because why? Because it's thinking that it's something that you're not. So, you know, you need to think about that. They're saying it. This is being shoved down our throats. It's being shoved down our throats. And why is that? What is going on with all that? You know what? Obama reminds me of the devil in the sense that he seems like that he doesn't have much time left, and he's trying to do everything that he can to destroy things or do other things because he's mad because he has just a little bit of time left. And so that's what I believe. And who's to say if Obama, I think that he's still being restrained. I really do. And the reason I believe that he's being restrained is because of the fact that he thinks that, well, still maybe, you know, Hillary can get in office and she'll carry on. But what happens when Trump wins? And I do believe Trump will win, you know, short of something, I don't know, but let's not even go there. But the point is let's suppose that Trump does win the presidency. You know, Obama turns around and sees that all of his policies are going to go. I mean, today, Obamacare funding was declared unconstitutional, and we won't need a court to do it. Anything about it if Trump gets in office. And so he sees his things that he's created, that is his legacy, going to be taken away from him. And so what will he do? What will he do? Will he just put all kinds of different programs out there, you know, every kind of liberal dream, set them in motion? He's already dropped the borders. I mean, we have Texas ranchers talking about where he used to just see a few people trickle over the border on his ranch, he's now seeing 40 or more people at a time coming over and laughing at him, you know, and that's even in the headlines today. We have no borders down there, folks. A country without a border can't stand, can it? Can we stand as a country? And is it going to be, look how many people are going to be into this country if this border is left unchecked. But going back to Obama, so, you know, Savage You know, there was a column on WorldNet Daily that talked about what Michael Savage says, and he seems to think that Obama will do something to crash the economy on his way out the door. You know, kind of like burning things down around him because he's mad. Will he do that? If you just look around, you know, to a certain point, he's already doing a lot of these things. He's really trying to implement everything that he can before he walks out of office. And, you know, while a lot of those can be undone, how long would it take the next president, preferably Trump, to get these things changed? Because, you know, it's kind of hard once you've funded agencies and hired employees and started people doing a system just to pull back that system. And so we could be in for something very, very horrific and very hard. You know, American companies are gone. There's so many people that are out of work. It's just pitiful. This stupid number of 5% unemployment, it's just crazy. There's many, many more people unemployed than that. And the only growth that there's been in jobs in this country since Obama came into office, realistically, I'm not just talking off my hat, is growth among what they call immigrants, you know. And they're bringing yet more and more of them in. They're, even the legal ones, they're bringing them in to be trained for jobs, just like at the Disney Company where they trained. They went in and they were trained by the people, the technicians that had jobs, and they were told they wouldn't get their severance packages if they didn't train these people. So they would train them, and then they would be fired and laid off, you know, with no hope for a prospect. What's that do to a 40-some-year-old man, you know, that's been working at a job for 10 or 15 years, and all of a sudden, you know, a job that he thought he would retire to or from, he doesn't have any longer. These are the kind of things that are going on and that people are not talking about. And in the general, you have the left out there acting like everything's all right. Send everybody to college. Send them to college and get degrees that they'll never use because there's no jobs for them, and just give them huge amount of debts. It's overloading the system. That's part of the Saul Alinsky thing. Overload the system, and it will crash. And then when it crashes, we can build a communist nation or socialist nation. But that's all communism and it is socialism. Even Hitler was a socialist, you know. Socialism doesn't work, you know. Everybody having equal pay and equal everything just does not work. Well, folks, I want you to go over and visit prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And pray about supporting the Mission Church, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight for a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And today, before I get back into the program and talk along the lines that I was talking about before radio, I'll talk a little bit about the mission church. Let's go with this. Instead of the normal commercial that I give you, I'm going to tell you a story about this girl. There's this girl that when she was 16, she came to us for help. And she came in with the regular people, and I thought she looked a little young, but she told me that she was, well, she's Pastor Dan, I'm 18. And, you know, I didn't really believe her, but So before, you know, I was trying to find her some help, and she left that day, and I thought she'd come back, and when she'd come back, I had a place for her to stay, but she didn't come back. In fact, I didn't see her again for a few months. And after I saw her again in a few months, that opportunity had left. But by then, you know, she was already into the world things. I mean, you know, she was 16. She had been kicked out of her parents, who, you know, were drug addicts in the first place. But they kicked her out. And so she went into, you know, children's home or something like that. And when she turned 16, the children's home kicked her out. But anyway, so she... through the years, I'm not going to make this a long story and give you all the details, but through the years, she's now 24, going on 25. Through the years, she's had three children. She was into hustling, as she calls it, hustling or prostitution. Some call it human trafficking, sometimes with a pimp, mostly not. She was into drug dealing. You know, she did it all. In fact, and she was abused in many different ways, and at one point she had to stab her ex to keep from being killed. And no, she didn't murder him, she didn't kill him, but and they turned it around on her. While she didn't get any trouble or anything, you know, the agencies frowned on her and because of it, because this man was their client. And she wasn't on the books as her client, so they took her client's side. So that locked her out of agencies for help. Two of the children that she has are with the relatives of her ex, but she has a new baby, about 4 months. It's over 4 or 5 months old. But point is that now, 4 years ago, when she was 20. She got saved, and she came out of all that. A person doesn't come out of all that. And all this time, she come back over asking for prayers, and I helped her off and on and trying to do what I could. But it's kind of hard to help an unsaved person that doesn't want to come out of the street, you know. So you just have to help them in the street and help them without judgment. That's what we do. We help without judgment, hoping that we can help them with that miracle prayer that when they want to come out, you know. And so... anyway, she came out. We'd prayed. She came out. So she's been out. She's been doing pretty good for 4 years. But she got pregnant again, but she's working. You know, she's in the process of getting a house and looking for a house and looking around, because even though she had a good job, you know, it's hard with the wages that people are being paid, you know, let alone support a child. But anyway. At work, she got her purse stolen, and in her purse was her ID and the child's ID, you know, social security cards, those kind of things, birth certificate, and, you know, let alone the money that she was saving. She was staying in a motel, a kitchenette, but staying in the kitchenette. Well, her rent is coming due, actually, this Saturday. And she came to me and told me, she said, well, I lost my purse. I said, well, you still got your job, right? Well, you know, you're going to work. She said, no, I was on my way to work the next day, and they text me because I reported my purse being stolen. She said, that's the only reason that I can think. I reported my purse being stolen, and the next day on the way to work, they sent me a text that said that my position was terminated and I needed to turn in my badge. Excuse me. And so... she turned in her, so now she has no job, and she has no place to go, her rent being up, she has no money, and so what do we do to help? You know, I don't have the money just to reach in my pocket and go rent her a place or anything like that. And so she came in, and I said, well, have you been able to get into any of the agencies? And she told me about how she's locked out of the agencies and in most of the shelters because of her ex-old man. But there was one agency that she wanted to been trying and trying and trying to get into and talk to, but she could never reach them on the telephone. And so she told me the name of the agency, and I typed it out on the computer and pulled it up, and I used the phone number on the computer, which was the same phone number that she was calling, and I called it, and they answered right off. And, you know, I took that as a good sign, and I gave her the phone. Well, she got in there, and so praise the Father. You know, she got in there, and we was able, by putting it out on our internet explore list, you know, our mission update list that we needed help for, and somebody donated some money for, you know, not a lot, you know, it was $100, and, you know, but the $100 is able to buy her diapers and things for the child until she gets on her feet. She'll get some money in a couple of weeks, and things will be better. But in the meantime, you know, we helped her with that. But I want to talk about this girl. You know, the thing about this girl is she's just really special. You know, while she wears glasses, you know, she's lost her glasses. And we're trying to pray in a couple of $100 to get her a pair of glasses and to get her to the doctor, because she has to go get a prescription because she doesn't have a prescription anymore for her glasses. And even if she could find the old prescription someplace, at a pharmacy per se, she couldn't use it because they won't fill a prescription after it's a couple of years old, you know. So anyway, we're trying to do that. But I want to talk about this girl a minute. This girl, like I say, has been saved, you know, and she told me, she said, I was listening to her, and she said, well, Pastor Dan, you know, she says, right now, I don't gripe too much about my glasses because I can't hardly see. So the only things that I can see that good are the visions that the Lord gives me, and he gives me visions. He puts these images in my head, and so I know, and I have a relationship with him, and you know, she talked about how she walks, and she praises him and everything, and she says, you know what, I'm not able, you know, I go to church, but I'm not able to really read and understand the Bible all that well, but I go to church, but I have a relationship with him. I talk to God in Jesus' name, and he talks back to me. I understand him. You know, Yeshua said the sheep would know my voice. You know, he said that. And this girl, it just struck me like a bolt of lightning as I was listening to her, is that, you know, this is how simple it is. You know, when the Spirit of God comes to you and wants to save you, you know, it's not a, while we are supposed to read his book and we're supposed to love his book and study it, you know, the first degree of being saved is just, you know, the Holy Spirit reaching out to you, that Damascus moment. This girl has a personal relationship with Yeshua. She knows what's right or wrong, you know. In fact, she's been seeing another guy, and this young gentleman, I met him, he really, while he has a disability, he wants to marry her. But, you know, they're not having sex. She said, Pastor Dan, we're not having sex. And she said, because we want to be pure for when we get married. And she said, I'm still waiting for a direct sign, even though I've seen the Father has gave me visions of us getting married, he hasn't told me the time yet. And so she's waiting on the Lord, but she has this personal relationship with Yeshua. And this is like so many people that are walking around poor and in the street. They have a better relationship with Yeshua, even though they have nothing. They have a better relationship than most of us, or that most of us would strive for all our lives to have, but yet they have this personal relationship because it's simple. They accept the Spirit of God, and they hear his voice, and they follow his voice, just as this young girl. Yeah, and you say, well, if she has such a great relationship, why doesn't Yeshua just, you know, why doesn't the Father just give her a house and all the money that she needs? You know why that is? Is because, you know, through part of this persecution is what she's all about. There's always poor people in the Bible. In fact, Paul sold everything in order to give to the poor. He said, I sold everything and gave it to the poor. You know, that's what Paul did. They gave offerings to other churches and other cities, other gatherings, other assemblies. That's what's going on. The Father uses people. He doesn't just miraculous, not saying that he couldn't, but he doesn't just miraculously make a pile of money appear. You know, that would even, you know, he doesn't do that. That isn't the way he does it. He uses people. You know, he tells a person that, you know, you need to go over there and give this person some money, or you need to help this person in this way. But why is that? Why doesn't he just do, but you say, well, why doesn't he just send somebody to her to do that all at once? Well, part of it is a growing out program. He wants her to do, if you read James chapter 2, and I'm not going to bring the Bible open and read to you, because most people don't like to be read to on the internet. But anyway, so people are used to accomplish the Father's needs. And I was talking about James chapter 1, chapter 2, faith without works is dead, being alone. And so he wants us to get up off the couch and do something and say, well, just pray for it and sit there. You know, pray for it, but you need to get up and move in that faith. It's just like the mission church. We pray. And the Father kept me up all night, told me what I was going to be doing. And so the mission church is a work of love. It's a work of faith. We leave here so many days and we don't even have the money to do anything, but we get there and the Father has taken care of that need. That's how it works. That's how it works. So faith without works is dead. The work is I got up, got in my car, drove to the mission church, opened the door, and everything is taken care of. It's just like I can't tell you how many days that I felt just deathly ill from the flu or something, and I drove over there to Wichita. As soon as I walked up to the mission church, I felt good, and for the whole rest of the day, and my cold may have relapsed the next day, but while I'm there, I feel good. He takes care of me, you know, because I'm in his presence, you know. But going back to the girl, so, you know, she is, and people will miraculously, her whole life is a miracle. But my point is that this wonderful girl, right now we're praying, and you can help us pray. We're trying to get the money up for her a pair of glasses, and that means a trip to the an optometrist, and then to pay for the glasses. And I'm sure that'll be around a couple of $100. My wife said, I think it was $80 for the visit, and we might be able to get her a pair of glasses for $100. I don't know, somewhere around in that neighborhood. But, you know, we want to do this for her. But you know what? But she's not crying because she can barely see. If she wants to read a piece of paper, she has to hold it about 2 inches from her eyes. You know, her glasses are almost Coke bottles. But she's not complaining because she believes that she'll be provided for. There goes her faith again. She believes that she'll be provided for when the Father provides it for her. You know, and so, you know, that is, it's just such a miraculous thing. And these are the people that we help. So many people out there that believe in Yeshua, and they know the end times is here. You know, I had one come up to me the other day and said, Pastor Dan, it's the end times. And, you know, told me about it. And he, you know, he's not somebody that reads the Bible all the time, but his communication with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit told him that and allowed him to see that. Why can't we see it when all these people are being slaughtered all over the world? Israel's being surrounded by armies, and we can't see it. We can't see it when all that smuts out there and all those things are happening in the United States. These things that would be said to be in the end times are here. You know, all of this. When you look at the bathroom thing, that is of the devil. That's not godly in any way, shape, or form. Why isn't Christianity speaking out about it? Tell me that. Why aren't we speaking out about it? To the point we are, and some people are starting to, but you would think that the voice of the Christians in this country would be so loud it would break your eardrums over something such as this. But no, too many just say, oh, well, that's the way things are now, and, you know, it's okay, just like the dress, or should I say the undress of women. You know, what happened to women out there? I mean, everywhere you go, there's at the least cleavage, but more often than not, some of them barely even have tops on and see-through and shorts that aren't even shorts. Or in some case, you know how bad it is. Go to a local Walmart, you know, in the summertime and see what it's like, you know. Or TV, turn on the TV. Regular TV has nudity on it. I mean, you know, why even watch the smut? But it's a sign of the end, and America is getting worse and worse and worse in the mud, while all these preachers say, well, we're going to have a huge revival, you know. Well, in order to have a revival, you know what comes before a revival? In reality, persecution. So there much persecution is going to come to this country. I don't know absolutely if America is indeed Babylon. It's starting to really act like it. It's putting its smut out to the world. You have Russia talking about taking out Babylon. In fact, it just fired at Satan II, its new missile called the Satan II, that they say could wipe out France or Texas, either one, with one missile. Well, it's funny they point out Texas, but you get my point. Making all kinds of threats. What happens if we do get Trump as president? You know, will he upset the Russians? Will we step into war? Will we get taken out? Or is Trump somebody that will help us change these things, you know, in America? I don't know. But I know one thing. We need to have that personal relationship. We need to be like this young girl who can walk around with nothing and walking around with nothing but still have great faith. You know, there are so many people that are waiting to fly out of here before the tribulation. You know, next week Michael Snyder is going to be on to talk about his new book, but I do want to point out one thing. In Matthew 24:29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, you hear that? And then, I'll say it again, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all of the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That is when this thing called the rapture is. Because, you know, why? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to me and you? Well, I'm sure he knew that it would be recorded. But at the first of 24, it says, and Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him. And they said upon the Mount of Olives privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things shall be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, he says, what? Immediately when? After the tribulation of those days. Shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's when he returns. That is the first resurrection. First resurrection. It's not a secret rapture. The whole world will see him coming. And when that happens, you know, it's not going to be something secret. It's not that way. That isn't what it says. He says immediately after the tribulation, and that's when he'll come. And so while I'm not picking on anybody that's pre-trib rapture, in fact, I have some pre-trib rapture people sometimes on this radio program. But my point is this, though, is, you know, you need to read your Bible. Don't listen to what that guy in the pulpit is saying unless that guy in the pulpit's words match the Bible. If they don't match the Bible, get up and run. You know, you could try ministering to him, but that usually doesn't happen because most of the time, if you're in a large church or something, you're in something that's a denomination, and he has to say the things that he's saying, because if he said something different, he would be looking for work. So the point of the, but that's the way with a 501(c) church, you know, people can throw the pastor out, and it's not really, you know. But also, he says, it will be as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, that doesn't say that it's going to be secret. What it says is that people are going to be caught unaware. And why are they going to be kind of caught unaware? Because they're not paying attention. They are not paying attention to what's going on. They're just flat not paying attention. So, you know, these things are going on right now. These things are going on right now. And so while these things are happening, we just have to pray. We have to get with that personal relationship. And right now, I want to play another song for you before the end of this program, and I'll come back and talk a little bit after this song. So let's hear this last song. This up to the end of the program. I'm sorry about my voice today. Well, you know, I got an asthma bug in there, you know, and sometimes it comes out when I talk. But anyway, the biggest important thing today is, look, we're on the verge. It doesn't matter if you think you're going to fly out before or after, in between, or anything else. Here's the point. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. He is your Savior. He gave his life for your repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And your Father, remember, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And his Son is Yeshua. And so you must remember that. That's what it boils on down, and you have to have a personal relationship with him. Folks, just like this little girl that has a personal relationship with him, and she's hanging on, and I'm seeing miracles in her life. You can help with a miracle with her. But also, we really need you to pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. I know a lot of you folks sit there and think, well, you must be getting millions of dollars in. Well, really? No, we're not. You know, most people don't want to donate to the homeless and poor. They have other things to do with their money. Although, the money that the church gets, the assembly gets, should be going to the poor and should be going to the gospel. And that's what we have. We need large print King James Bibles. We need lots of things, but pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really need your help. But above all, no matter what, that personal relationship. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the priests of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Really it is, because there will be no peace anywhere until Yeshua returns, except for that peace that you get in your heart, the peace that I have in my heart, that I am saved, but still there's that troubling as I cry for the rest of the world, as I weep and mourn for those things that are coming upon the earth, just as the Word says that we should. So, folks, Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.